may be seated. Welcome to our worship service on this fourth Sunday in Lent. We're glad you are here. Glad you set the clocks correctly. I think it has more to do with, we have a lot of people that we'll mention in prayer that are just under the weather. I have had a couple people tell me they'll host one of the Bible studies during Holy Week. If you are willing to host a night, all you need to do is open up your door. We will do that. The only night that week that we don't need someone to host is Friday night, because we'll have our Tenebrae service here. But we need from Monday to Saturday. And if you'd like to, let me know. I also put the Easter weekend schedule here, Good Friday, Easter sunrise, and the Resurrection of Our Lord service. Also, wanted to announce that Andy Banky and is playing at, is Sarah still in the Lynchburg Pops? Okay, but Andy is playing today, and I'm hoping to go. It's the Pops are doing the music of John Philip Sousa, right? And it's at the Academy at 4 o'clock. You have to get tickets online, but they're $10 to $40, and it should be a good concert, and hopefully it won't last too long. Will it? How long is the concert?
About an hour and a half.
Okay, hour and a half. So that didn't come out the way. Hey, don't laugh. You show up every Sunday hoping that for me. So anyway, so and if we want to get a group, I'm just curious, anybody interested in going to that? If you are, let me know, and then we can get a group together. All right, any other announcements? Yes, sir.
So I do have an announcement, and I just want to share real quick a word of encouragement from my brother, Martin. You know, life can be hard sometimes, and I think he felt it, Luther. And we wrote, you know, and fill this world with devils filled, should threaten to undo us. We will not fear, for God has filled his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure, one little word shall fell him. And, you know, we all suffer, and it's hard, and life is hard. And so we're inviting the congregation to pray and consider coming together for a night. In May 19th is the day we sort of put on the calendar to meet, and for this, just the purpose of healing, prayer, coming together. If you have a burden that you're struggling with, you know, and you want to spend some time in prayer, maybe come get anointed by one of the pastors here. After James says, you know, if you're sick, come, you know, and the elders of the church will anoint you, and we'll find some help. So I just want to encourage you that, you know, even though yes, life is hard, we will triumph through Christ. And we have an opportunity to have that. So May 19th. If you're interested in helping out with that, please let me know. I'll be glad to involve you in the service. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. I'm looking forward to the wonderful time. Any others? All right, let's move to prayer requests. Let me give you an update on the ones I'm aware of. Heather has moved to a facility in Crewe, Virginia, so that's a blessing. Robert doesn't have to drive to Northern Virginia. But Robert is still has not had his procedure, still in the hospital. So I doubt it will be today unless it becomes an emergency situation. So it'll probably be tomorrow, and I'll keep you posted. Ruth Harvey did not come home when they went to discharge her. The doctor said, if we let you go, you're going to turn around and come right back. Her numbers of her heart rate just all over the place. And so they're going to try another medication that has to be monitored for several days. So we'll keep Ruth in our prayers. On a very good note, Agnes is home, and she sounds good. And Sue said you saw her yesterday, and she looks good.
Yes, she was sitting at the kitchen table with the lady that's staying with her for the day. Good. Yeah, she was easy, you know, easy to talk with, and she sounded really good.
All right. Thank you. Also, got a request from both David and Carol Lindsay that they're under the weather quite severely and would like our prayers. Any other items of prayer? Yes, Karen.
I went to see Tiffany on Friday, and she appreciates all the prayers. She said, please lift her up Monday or Tuesday. This will be the third time they've tried to go down through her esophagus to get a stent put on the outside of her liver because her liver enzymes are up. And at this present time, she's only able to take one chemo pill, not two yet. So she said her dad was going to go around every church this morning and put her on a prayer list. But I told her everybody at the well is praying for her. So she said she'll let me know, hopefully, if it's Monday or Tuesday, what day it is.
So let's keep Tiffany Reynolds in our prayers, and especially is that this might be successful when they try to do it this time.
And she's ready to go home.
Is she in a lot of pain or discomfort?
She's in a lot of nausea. She's still on a liquid diet. No pain, just feels terrible. Tired.
So we'll definitely keep Tiffany and Hank and all of them in our prayers. Thank you. Thanks for going to see her too. Anyone else? Yes, Mom.
Amanda Crosswhite.
Okay. Amanda Crosswhite. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Webb.
I have two. Let's keep Wayne Williams in our prayers. Should we miss that guy? Would she make it to church one Sunday, or maybe we could go see him? And then Stephanie, my work wife, her husband Bob, I can't really go into detail, but just keep them in prayer. They're kind of going through some stuff right now.
I'll do it better. Stephanie and Bob, they've been here. Let's keep them in prayer, and also Wayne Williams. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We know that every day is a gift. So it's a beautiful day, even if it's cold and blustery. We just thank you for the gift of life. And far more precious, we thank you for the gift of eternal life that we find only in Christ Jesus. And we're grateful that we can come together with no other intention but to lift high your sacred name and to proclaim and to claim those promises that you've given us of your presence. And your presence is our joy and our strength, and we thank you. And we just thank you for this congregation. And we pray that you'll continue to guide us and lead us, and may we always lift high the cross. Be with these that we've mentioned that are on our hearts. We pray for Heather and Robert and Ruth and Agnes and David and Carol, Tiffany and Hank, Wayne, Amanda, Stephanie, and Bob. And pray for the one that comes to our mind at this time. We pray that your blessings will be upon them. You desire more than we desire it for ourselves, that we walk in wholeness and peace and in the love of Jesus Christ. And it's through that precious name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to the front. And as always, we gather only in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your divine mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take
saying unto you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
You'll look with us to the insert. We'll use the first 9 verses of Psalm 107 before we stand and sing hymn 252. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever.
Let all the ways of the Lord as redeemed proclaim, and that he redeemed them from the hand of the foe.
He gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some wandered in that place, but they found a way to sustain it where they were now gone.
They were hungry and thirsty. Their spirits languished within them.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress.
He put their feet on a straight path to go to a city where they might dwell.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his mercy, and the wonders he does for his children.
For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
Thank you.
The Old Testament lesson is taken from Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Or, they set out by their way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpent from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Here ends the Old Testament lesson for today.
Thank you.
your grace, may mercifully be relieved through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who through his love has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and as children of light, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The New Testament lesson for today is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, followed the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him, in them. Here ends the New Testament lesson for today.
Greatest thing in all my life. gospel reading is John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. I wanted to reassure you, that's why I walked back to the back. We had turned the heat up, but we turned it up a couple more because it looked like I was watching audience at a football game. All of you are wrapped up, so it'll be, hold on. Grace and peace be to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Several months ago, I was at Charlie's one evening, and it must have been around the prom time, because all these youngsters were coming in with nice suits and fancy dresses, and some had flowers, and one sat not far from the booth I was sitting in, right here, and there was another older lady, not on my booth, but in front of me, you know how it is at Charles, and the two couples, obviously out on a date, probably going to the prom, sat down, and after they ordered, they both individually took out their cell phone. And on their date, one was talking on this or playing a game, and the other was doing the same. And the elder lady said to me, I don't know if they heard it, said, "That's a real picture of love, isn't it?" This morning's text is a real picture of love. It's probably the most famous verse in the Scripture. It's used three times in the lectionary. But the other two times that the lectionary readings have John 3:16, it's the beginning part, the discussion with Nicodemus, that's focused on. This reading is the only one that has the latter part, where the focus is a beautiful love story, a picture of love perfectly expressed. So I just thought we would go through this, because the simplicity of this verse stands alone. You all know it, don't you? I'd like us to repeat it as we learned it together as children. May we repeat together John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. So, just ask three questions. What is love? What is love? You know, it's a weasel word, because we use it for all sorts of things. You know, I love my mother, and I love my children, and I love my truck, and I love Tom Lincoln, and I love biscuits and gravy. And I've used love in a different way. I assure you, I've used love in a different way with each one of those. So don't panic, Mr. Lang. I've used it in a different way in each one of those. So what does it mean? What is love? Foreigner, say it. I want to know what love is. What is love? Well, this may be reviewed, and I'll do it very quickly, but there is a point, not just a Greek lesson. There are four Greek words for love, and the Greek language is more clear in some ways because it uses different words to connotate different meanings. The first Greek word, and you know the English derivative of it, is eros. It's where we get erotic love. And we usually just think that erotic love is between a couple. But it's sensual love in the five senses. Taste, touch, hearing. So my love of biscuits and gravy would be eros love. Your love of gardening would be eros love. It's that love of things that bring pleasure through your senses. Now, you probably are aware that sometimes those change, don't they? You know, when I was 30 years old, I used to love to put a week or two worth of products in a backpack and put it on my back and go out in the wilderness for about 2 weeks and just hike 40, 60 miles over those 2 weeks. I loved it. That no longer brings my senses any pleasure. So it changed. That love changes. The other Greek word is phileo, where we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And that's that love of friendships where, you know, you're just deeply committed, as Jonathan and David, that they said that love between the two of them was closer than even with their spouses. Nothing inappropriate about it, but it's that close brotherly love that often men or women that serve in combat together, or you go through difficult times together, and you just get bonded together. But we also know those friendships can change, can't they? People that you used to have as best friends, you've either lost contact or maybe an event made that explode. Phileo changes. The last is storge, not really used in the New Testament, but that's like a functional love, a structural love. You might love working at B&W because you love working at B&W. But if you've got a new boss, that structural love can change real quickly. And storge changes. The one that doesn't, and the one that's here, and the one that God chose is agape, or some people would pronounce it agape. That agape love is unconditional because it's not based on what the external is bringing to the table. But it's unconditional because it is a decision to commit to someone's shalom, to be committed to their wholeness. And God Almighty loves us with this absolute love. And the truth is, because it's based on His character, it will never change. It's secure, and we're secure in it. How does God love? We looked at what is love. How does God love? Let me start by saying it's not only true with all things, it's especially true with love. I will remind you of the words of Isaiah 55:8, where God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." God is the only one who knows how to love perfectly. And He does that in three adjectives, or three descriptions, I want to say, of how He loves. He loves completely. He loves completely. Often our love is, we express good wishes. I'll be keeping you in my thoughts. I'll keep you in my prayers. I wish you the very best. But when God loves, He doesn't just express things. He shows up. He shows up. If we Look back in John 1:18. It says that it came in Christ Jesus. He shows up like that wonderful anthem that you've heard. At Christmas, love came down. He didn't just send a concept called love. He sent himself completely. But as we read in the Old Testament passage today that Dave read for us, he not only loves completely, he loves sacrificially. He loves sacrificially. In that story, the people, because they were grumbling, God sent fiery snakes. Aren't you glad God doesn't send fiery snakes today when people complain? And the beautiful truth there is they were saved by what condemned them. They were saved by what condemned them. What the condemnation was the snake. The salvation came from looking to the snake. Our problem is sin. Our salvation is because Jesus Christ became sin. Amen. And they were to look up. And when they looked up, they were healed. But I want you to know, it cost. Salvation technically is not free. It's free to you and it's free to me. But it came on the cost of God's Son. So, as a side note, when you're loving someone and it hurts, you're in good company. As Hebrews would say, we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize, but in all ways, he can be sympathetic to what you're feeling when it hurts to love. So he loved completely, he loved sacrificially, and he loved freely. There's a principle or just a phenomenon that a verse that's right beside a very famous verse, nobody knows. It gets overshadowed. Everyone knows John 3:16. Very few people know John 3:17. But it's just as beautiful and just as powerful. Look at that verse with me. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. It sounds like a trite statement, but it's true. If Jesus didn't come to condemn, what in the world am I ever doing thinking condemning thoughts? If Jesus didn't come to condemn, who am I to hold condemnation or judgment against another? Only Jesus Christ. But we do say that light, when it enters into a picture, light brings shadows. And those shadows are often hidden and used by, we see in verse 18, those who reject the name. They hide in the shadows, but praise God because of his good grace and his present ministry of working with the Holy Spirit. There are folks that are stumbling in the darkness and they're led to the light. Like us, we can probably look back to when we were stumbling in the darkness. And we're brought into the light, not because of our wisdom, but because of his love. And then the final thing I would say is, who does God love? And we sometimes think he loves us four and no more. Or he loves our denomination. Or he loves Americans better than Italians. Or he loves people that look just like me. Or he loves people that think just like me. The truth of the matter is, the term used here for world is the most expressive and inclusive of all the words. It's a word, cosmos. It's the entire created order. Paul tells us in Romans 8 that when we fell in Adam and Eve, who suffered? Just human beings? No, the whole creation groans. So as Isaac Watts wrote in Joy to the World, he comes to make his salvation, his grace flow as far as the stain is found. There's not a corner. There's no area in this world where he has not shown his love and sent Christ to die for the world. He loves you and me just as we are. In other words, he loves those who don't deserve it. Does anyone deserve God's love? Billy Graham? Mother Teresa? I guarantee you they would be the first to say they don't deserve it. God came to love those not who earned his love, not who deserved his love, but those who don't deserve it. And that's the good news that we go out and tell people. We don't go out and tell people that they're lost and going to hell. We go out and tell people, God's not angry at you. God loves you. And so do I. See, if you think about it, grace doesn't mean a thing if we're all good. And that's why the toughest people to sometimes submit to the beautiful love story of God are those that think they've got it all together already. Grace is that love. So how do we respond? It says here, we just simply believe. We believe. We look up, just like the children and Moses looked up to see the bronze serpent. We look up. We look up to the one who was lifted up. We don't look within. That's a rabbit hole that you can fall into and never get out of it. These thoughts of, I can just find the answer within. That's so subjective. And it's, you can't get it from looking within. You can't find it by looking around. We look around and we see other sins, or we look around and we see my problems or your circumstances. If we look around, we're not going to find it. If we look down, well, I wouldn't even go there. We look up. And when we look up, we're believing. And when we do that, the scripture says we get eternal life. We get eternal life. And John 17 tells us eternal life is not something we get when we die. Eternal life, John 17:3 says, is simply knowing Jesus Christ. And that is our hope. We simply know Jesus Christ and all the triune God has done through him. And that is a perfect picture of love. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed be your name, God of Moses, for you so loved the world, and all that you so love you created to share life with you. When your people were suffering as captives in Egypt, you heard their cries, led them to freedom, and made with them a covenant life. When your people were perishing in the poison of sin, You sent your only Son to take our trespasses into himself, to be our healing medicine. Suffering his own death, and rising in glory, he won our redemption and transformed the poison of our sin into your elixir of life. And so we sing your praise with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven as we join the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Redeeming God, who sent your Son into the world, not to condemn, but so that the world might be saved through him, sanctify this everlasting feast, and through it draw your church into your eternal triune life. By your Spirit, bless these gifts of bread and wine, and that may they be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and blessed it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Restoring God, whose Son was lifted up, that we might look upon him and live, bring us through his cross to the glory of resurrection. Shed your mercy on those who look upon malady and disease and long for healing of body, mind, or spirit. Deliver your children afflicted by the poison of enmity and strife in their families, neighborhoods, or communities. Hold your redeeming cross before eyes cast down by injustice. Raise up your church, men and women of courage and discipleship. Lift up in every heart the hope born of your passion, until all your children look upon the day when the world that you so love is at last one with you in glory. And together with the saints, we drink the wine of your kingdom. Blessed and Holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My Father, earthly Father, whenever someone needed encouragement, it was often said to me, he'd simply say, "Keep your chin up." Originally, I sort of heard that as a platitude, like, just stay positive. The more I reflected on it, that's a message of the gospel. Because if your chin is up, your eyes are lifted up, and your redemption draws near. Like those children with Moses, like those on Golgotha's hill, we now come. And this table is us coming, lifting our eyes up. You may wonder, and that's why pastors hold the bread up. If you notice, I'll hold it up before I give it to you. Lift your eyes up, not to anyone, but Jesus Christ. And he is our balm in Gilead, and will heal us when we lift up our eyes. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in sincerity and truth, to come and to receive this Lamb sacrificed because of love for your redemption. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you, our Father, for the gift of your love, for being our light, and sharing your eternal life. That is enough. To have the Almighty's love, light, and life equips us fully for the living of these days and for all eternity. So we are ever and eternally grateful. Amen. Let us stand together. Gail gave me a note, and that is there's a sign-up sheet for Agnes's food in the narthex, and please, I'm mentioning it as a benediction. So there's a sign-up sheet in there, mention it. I've never been accused of being subtle, so... Anyway, let us stand and hear, sing our final hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. Peace to love and serve our Lord.